Good morning and welcome to our worship this morning on the ninth Sunday of Trinity. The collect, the prayer for today on this ninth Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, who sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church, open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love and joy and peace, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the gospel of the Lord. As a family, we recently went to see Six the Musical in London, which describes itself as a musical comedy. It's a modern retelling of the lives of the six wives of Henry VIII, presented in the form of a singing competition stroke pop concert. It's not your traditional type of musical at all, but it is very, very good and entertaining. And I cannot confirm that I've now seen that three times. As with any musical show, panto, choir, music kind of event, there's always a show at the end, a show of appreciation from the audience gathered. And depending on what you're watching, will probably depend on how raucous that show of appreciation is. Most of the time, if you're at a musical thing, you don't tend to clap halfway through a performance. You tend to save that for the very end. At a sports event, it's probably very different. There's cheering and support for the team or individual from the start, or in fact, before it even starts, as names are read out. There's cheering when somebody scores a goal, or a try, or a run. There are shouts when the decisions by referees seem to be unfair. There are shouts when there's time wasting happening by the other team. There are cheers when a race is won. I'm sure parents and grandparents here have been to children's sports days and cheered on their children or their grandchildren as they compete to finish the race that they are in. In football, the crowd is seen as the 12th player that cheers from the crowd, that lifts the players and helps them as the match plays out. And in our reading from Hebrews today, we have the last part of chapter 11, which is known as the by faith chapter, in which we read about the faith of Abraham and Moses, which some of we heard last week. But this chapter 11 is a little bit like Marmite. Some love it, some hate it, or dislike it strongly. And there's no information about who the writer of Hebrews is. Some people say Paul, others say probably not, because it is so different from the other letters that he writes. Some say associates of Paul, but the answer remains unknown. We don't really know who wrote it. We also don't really know when it was written either. The two dates that I came across, possibly prior to 96 CE or before 70 CE, which is a really, really wide time frame. So I think they probably just took an educated guess, because actually they don't really know. And who were the Hebrews? Who were they writing to? Again, there's an assumption that they were Jewish Christians, mainly because of the Old Testament references that you find in the book of Hebrews. But they could have been a group of Christians from very different ethnic backgrounds and places. At the end of the day, nobody is really sure about any of that. Yet the book is best known for its portrait of faith in action and the heroes of faith that it speaks of in chapter 11. But if you were having to write a list of heroes of the faith taken from the Old Testament, I'm not sure who you would pick and choose to be in your list. I think the obvious ones are probably, as they start, Abraham and Moses, as did the writer of Hebrews. But I wonder who else would make it onto your GOAT list, the greatest of all time. I wonder, maybe for me, whether it would be Esther. Daniel is mentioned through the mouths of, closing the mouths of lions, but he's not mentioned by name in the list. Elijah, maybe Ruth and her daughters-in-law, maybe Joshua, who again is kind of mentioned in the walls of Jericho coming down, but isn't mentioned by name. The writer chooses to pick Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, and Sarah, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, as well as a host of unnamed prophets. Now, I readily admit I don't know two of those stories and who those people are in the Bible. I probably could roughly guess where they might be in the Bible, but I don't know anything about their stories at all. And it seems like a strange choice. Certainly, having Rahab in the story, in this list of people of faith, who was a Canaanite sex worker, an outsider to the Israelite nation, and yet she helped the two spies that Joshua sent out. It's unusual as well to have women in that list. We have two, we have Sarah and we have Rahab, which makes you wonder why the writer decided to include those in this list. Was it that she was, Rahab, just an outsider? Someone who wasn't part of the Israelite nation, but had the faith of the nation. And then we have, in Hebrews, a list of different ways that those heroes suffered for their faith. And yet it finishes with the fact that all were commended for their faith in verse 39 before God provided something better, which is Jesus. And chapter 12 kind of just leads straight through, with no break really, into the thought pattern of the writer, to say that all those who by faith stuck with God through thick and thin are a cloud of witnesses that we are surrounded by. And in these verses, there's a sense of it being an Olympic stadium, where those who have gone before us are cheering us on in the stands as we navigate our way through life, with all the good things that happen, as well as the not so good things that happen. A bit like being in the crowd at a sports or a music event. There are those around us willing us on to be the best that we can be. And Jesus is one of those to whom they have and we have to look to, who is the perfecter of faith. Some translations with that phrase say he's the perfecter of our faith. But actually, some say Jesus is the perfecter of faith. Just faith, not necessarily ours personally. Whose journey, we all know, led to death on a cross and is now seated at God's right hand. So I wonder, who is cheering you on? Not necessarily just those who are now in heaven and in that great cloud of witnesses, but those who are around you here on earth, who are cheering you on, giving you the support and encouragement that you need. Who are the ones in your corner through thick and thin, who are there ready to support and to help? In a moment, we're going to say the creed together. And we're going to use the Apostles' Creed, which is on page 6. And the last part of it, it mentions the communion of saints, which can be explained as a reference to the whole community of faithful followers of Christ, living and dead, past, present, and future. All those who have gone before us, I like to think, are cheering us on, as well as those around us still here. But we too have that role. It's not just about thinking about those who cheer us on. Who are we doing that for? So I wonder, this week, who are you going to support and encourage in their journey of faith? Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and with those, all those whom you love, now and always. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.